Gary Bodway or Bodway here? He's a Warbird Lion volunteer, but I did not know him. Does anybody know him? Okay. Anyways, retired colonel. He was a TO in Nam. And we'd love to have input from anybody there. Let's go over to the other airplane. This was probably the last piston-powered true Warbird in the military inventory of the United States. Very interesting airplane. We have the owner here, Bob Schaefer. John Russman is probably the premier fixer-upper of O2s. He's based in Detroit. There are some people still living there. And I couldn't resist. I'm sorry. Who wants to comment about the airplane? A little bit about what it's powered with or not powered with, how you wind up the rubber band and so forth. Bob?
Hi. Yeah, there are still people living in Detroit. I'm one of them. The O2 was derived from the Cessna 337 civilian aircraft, the Skymaster, that was designed as a business aircraft. As had been mentioned earlier, the observation role, the forward observation role, was being flown in little single-engine airplanes, the O1s, the L19s, and there are a whole mess of those parked out back. Well, that didn't have a lot of performance. It couldn't carry a lot of marking rockets, and there was only one engine. So if something bad happened to the engine, it wasn't going to be a good day in the office for the pilot. So the Air Force wanted something much more powerful and that would carry more marking rockets, and it would be much more capable. Well, what they came up with was this, and the OV-10 Bronco as well, but it took a long time to develop those. In the meantime, they needed something right now, and they happened to see that Cessna had this business airplane, this goofy-looking thing with an engine in the front and the engine in the back, and they tried it and found out, golly, that thing will work pretty good. So they took this business airplane, took it out of its business suit, and put underwing pylons on it and a whole mess of radios and sent them to war. And they put extra windows in it and a few other odds and ends. But people went out in this airplane armed with a .45 caliber sidearm and a microphone. And the forward air controller went out, spotted targets. And when he saw targets, he had marking rockets on the aircraft, and he flew in and aimed his – he had to point the airplane at what he wanted to mark, fired off a marking rocket, and then he pulled out and got on the microphone, got on the radio, and called in the heavy movers, the guys in the F-4s or the Mohawks or whoever had the ordnance, and he directed them on target. And that was the function of the forward air controller. He was the conductor of the band, if you will, up in the front – directing the whole thing.
A little closer to your mouth.
Oh, I'm sorry. So that's what the aircraft did, and this was quite capable, and with two engines, it could get the guy home if something bad happened to one. So I didn't fly it in Vietnam. It's unfortunate that a gentleman who was going to be here couldn't make it for whatever reason, who had a lot of good stories that we all wanted to hear. But I'm privileged to still operate it and to show it off, and it's important for folks to see this and know that a lot of very brave people went to battle in this little airplane, and this very airplane flew in Vietnam and was very capable.
Great. We're going to open for questions. How many of you saw the movie Bat 21? Great movie.
One of my favorites.
It really was good. What?
One of my favorites.
Yeah. I watch it at night to go to sleep. John, do you want to talk a little bit about the technical aspects of the airplane?
Okay. Good afternoon. My name is John Russman. I maintain and restore and fly the O2s. I myself was not in Vietnam either, but the forward air controller was a very unique individual. I'm still trying to figure out who we upset for them to get this mission. Because forward air controller to me just meant fancy word for a target. The airplane was armed. It had Willie Pete rockets. A lot of times the pilots would trade them for high explosive. They were called out on if an F-4 pilot had to eject or was shot down, the FAC was the first one on station to call in the helicopters and to keep the area clean for them. Technically, it's a very sound airplane. When they, like Bob said, it was derived from the Cessna Skymaster. Well, early in the war, when they really wanted these, if you were a corporate owner who owned one, it was confiscated, and it went to Vietnam. And then Cessna built the O2A, which is, this is a copy of an A model. The O2B, which had a PA system on it, a leaflet chute, to where they could drop leaflets, and they had a PA system from 10,000 feet. You could hear it very clear. And it carried rockets. It actually had miniguns, but 2 weeks in country with the miniguns, the general had them removed because when you give a pilot a gun, he gets very brave. And it's a very safe airplane. It's very easy to fly, and it carries quite a bit of fuel. Probably has more range than the pilot did. And if there's anything else I can answer, any questions about it?
We got so many Vietnam vets here. Before you ask your question, how many Vietnam vets feel like their bottoms were saved by a FAC at some time or other? Yeah. It happened. It was very important. Question over here. Yeah. How many Mohawks were built? 380.
There were 31 O2Bs, and there were 500 O2As. But if you added up all the O2s, the ones that were shot down, the ones that had training accidents, and the ones that never went to Vietnam, there's over 1,100. Summit Aviation in Delaware converted a whole bunch of civilian Skymasters for the Vietnam War. But this is very possibly one of them. There's really no way of telling, but that's all I can tell you.
Okay, other questions, please? Yes.
I'm sorry, I didn't quite understand.
Pick up a battalion of VC? What do you mean, on the scope? I think you could, couldn't you?
Can you pick up a battalion of VC on the ground?
With the, it depends on whether you're using SLAR or infrared. If the side-looking radar is in use, it needs to be metal and it needs to be moving. And of the 6 months that I flew Laos and Cambodia hunting trucks with the radar, I don't think I ever went through Laos and did not find at least one convoy. The infrared, if it was a warm enough heat source, you generally could pick up cook fires, under ideal circumstances, vehicles. Whether it was a battalion or not, if you were just talking about people moving, it would be difficult. But if they had any sort of motorized transport or had any sort of cook fire or campfire going, one of the other systems would find them.